نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah. We seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Wherever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah from you, demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is the Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Ma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a string, and every string is in the fire. I hope that the people excuse me, inshallah ta'ala. I just noticed that a camera was looking at me, and I just asked the brothers not to do that. Anyway, tonight we wanted to deal with the issue that's important for the Muslims to concern themselves with. As I noticed from the earlier talk that there were many questions, and this is good on the one hand, as Allah ta'ala, He says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask Ahlul Zikr, or ask the people of knowledge, when you don't know. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the authentic hadith, he says, إِنَّمَا شِفَاءُ الْعِيِّ السُّؤَالِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the only cure for ignorance is the question. And that's good that the Muslims are asking to learn about their deen. But learning about your deen is going to take more than just the question like that of just a question and answer session. But it's going to take some sitting down and actually seeking this knowledge. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the authentic hadith of Imam al-Tirmidhi and others, he says, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. Seeking knowledge is an obligation on every Muslim. And seeking that knowledge is not just going to be questions and answers, because oftentimes the answer is given and the person can't remember it. Because it would mean that they would have to memorize the ayah on the spot and its understanding, or to memorize the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam right on the spot, and to understand the statements of the ulama all around a question. You would have to take some time to sit down and go over things in order to learn. And also, as I noticed from some of the questions, that the answer would be a lecture in itself. And maybe the people could have been advised to read a book, like on the issue of imitating the kuffar, and there's a book translated into English on this issue of imitation, or the prohibition of imitating the kuffar, where someone could read that book and then they would ask questions then in order to have an understanding of what they read, or to make sure that the issue is clear. Now, one of the other ways, or one of the main ways to seek this knowledge, is the way that we find in this hadith that we want to recite from the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah and others. An Abi Waqid al-Laythi radiyallahu anhu qala, بينما رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في المسجد والناس معه، إذ أقبل ثلاثة نفر، فأقبل اثنان إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وذهب واحد، قال فوقف على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فأما أحدهما فرأى في الحلقة فرجة فجلس فيها، وأما الآخر فجلس خلفهم، وأما الثالث فأدبر ذاهبا. فلما فرغ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ألا أخبركم عن النفر الثلاثة؟ قال أما أحدهم فآوى إلى الله فآواه الله، وأما الآخر فاستحيا فاستحيا الله منه، وأما الآخر فأعرض فأعرض الله عنه. Abu Waqid al-Layfi radiallahu anhu, he said, while the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in the masjid and the people were with him, three people passed by. And then two of them came closer to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those two stood at the gathering of the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam. And as far as one of them, then he saw an opening in the gathering and he went and sat in it. And as far as the other one, then he sat behind the gathering. And as far as the third one was concerned, then he turned away and left. And when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was finished, he said, should I not inform you of the three people who passed by? As far as one of them, he turned to Allah and Allah turned to him. And as far as the other one, then he was shy and Allah was shy from him. And as far as the third one is concerned, then he turned away and Allah turned away from him. And this hadith that Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he puts in his Kitab al-Ilm, or in the Book of Knowledge, we see this example being set by the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is that he was in the masjid and the people were in the masjid with him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as ulama explained, that they were in the masjid with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learning this deen, learning the Book of Allah and learning the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that the Muslims, if they're going to seek knowledge, they're going to have to get accustomed to coming to the masjid and sitting with the people of knowledge, like now, we hope, inshallah, and to make a habit of this, as we see in the case of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will explain a little more, inshallah ta'ala. The Muslims have to make a custom of going past the masjid. As we see in this case, the people were just passing by the masjid. And then when they saw that something was happening, they came and checked it out. And two of them took a more serious look than the other one, than the other of the three. And then of those two, one was even more serious than the other, as he saw an opening in the gathering and he came a little closer to make sure that he didn't miss anything, as opposed to the other one who was a little shy and he sat in the back of the gathering trying to benefit from the knowledge of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Muslims, if we're going to seek this knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, we're going to have to get accustomed to riding by the masjid, coming to take a look in the masjid to see what's happening. Is there any classes, any learning going on? If a halqa is in the masjid, sit in the halqa and benefit and learn some of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the way of the Muslims. This is the way of the Muslims, that they spend their time in the masjid learning, as we see with this example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, he encourages us to be in the masjid, as he says in the hadith of Imam Muslim, أحب البلاد إلى الله مساجدها وأبغض البلاد إلى الله أسواقها. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, the most beloved lands to Allah are the masjids. Or the most beloved places to Allah are the masjids. And the most hated places to Allah are the marketplaces. Like you just go to check out in the mall or the stores to see what's on sale. Did I get anything? Do I need anything? We need to start looking at better places than the marketplace, trying to find a deal and try to find a better deal that might save us from a fire whose fuel is men and stones, by coming to the masjid and learning about the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As the masjid, the houses of Allah, these are the places where the Muslims, for lack of better words, hang out. The kuffar are not going to hang out in the masjid. And why should they? They don't even hang out in their churches. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he teaches us this principle with this statement, مَا كَانَ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ أَن يَعْمُرُوا مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ شَاهِدِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ بِالْكُفْرِ أُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ وَفِي النَّارِ هُمْ خَالِدُونَ إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَى الزَّكَاةَ وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ فَعَسَىٰ أُولَٰئِكَ أَن يَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says, it is not right for the disbelievers to populate the masjids of Allah while they bear witness against their own souls in kufr. Their deeds will be rendered null and void, and in the hereafter they'll abide in the fire forever. The only people who populate the masjids of Allah are those who believe in Allah and the last day, and establish the salah and pay the zakat and fear none but Allah, and perhaps those will be amongst the guided. It's for the believers to spend some time in the masjid every day. Not only on Sundays with the Sunday school or something. And not only for the Jumu'ah khutbah, but at least for the 35 salat, or I should say the other 34 salat other than Jumu'ah, you should be in the masjid. But we're talking about encouraging ourselves to be in the masjid even more than those 35 times a week that are compulsory on the Muslim men to be in the masjid anyway. They were just passing by, not the issue of salat, passing by the masjid to see what's happening. So this is indirectly an encouragement. You got to get on top of your five salat in the masjid. And then you have to do what the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, brother Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is encouraging us in these ayat, to try to find more time to spend in the masjid than just the five salat. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, brother Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is aware that everybody has to go to work and do something, but you have more time. Because going to work never prevented you from picking up all the sales, buying everything at the store that you need and things that you don't need. Working never prevented people from going on vacation to islands to commit the haram and so on. Working never prevented people from disobeying Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And working shouldn't prevent anyone from obeying Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. To seek this knowledge, we're going to have to take this example of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam and his companions, and to be in the masjid with the people of knowledge learning this deed. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger, he shows us either the beautiful results of seeking this knowledge in the masjid from the people of knowledge, or the evil consequences of turning away from this knowledge. As Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, as far as the one, he turned to Allah and Allah turned to him. He turned to the gatherings of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. He turned to the learning of the ayat from the book of Allah, the Quran, and the sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and Allah turns to him, giving him the success, rewarding him, showing mercy on him, showing him the way to Jannah, showing him the way to the hellfire and warning him from it, because he turned to the gatherings of knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn to you and make you successful, you turn to learning and seeking this knowledge. And even on the other hand, is the other one who was a little shy and he sat in the back. And this is a beautiful characteristic of Islam, that a person is shy, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith of al-Bukhari al-Muslim, the hadith of which the end of it is, al-haya'u shu'batun min al-iman. And al-haya' or shyness and modesty, it is a branch of iman. Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another narration, al-haya'u min al-imani wal-imanu fil jannah. That haya' is from iman and iman is in jannah. The person who was a little shy by sitting in the back, but he didn't let his shyness prevent him from seeking the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And no one should be too shy. I was mentioning before, and we're quoting this hadith one time before, and I hope that we don't stretch it outside of the meaning of the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam, But sometimes someone, he might be too shy to even sit in the gathering. So he sits in the hallway somewhere or whatever where the speaker system is reaching, and he listens to the class and he does his best to learn from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or that someone, he might listen to the tape in the privacy of his own home or in his car while he's going to work or coming from work or taking care of his business or what have you. Or a person, he might buy a book on any particular issue, as we were trying to encourage in the beginning, because maybe he feels a little funny, the speaker is looking at him in the class, he might be a little too shy, but his shyness doesn't prevent him from learning the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is warning us from being like that third person who turns away and Allah turns away from him. Whereas in the other narration, فَاسْتَغْنَا فَاسْتَغْنَ اللَّهُ مِنْ أَعَنْ, that he felt himself to be independent and free of need of learning the Quran and the Sunnah, and Allah is free from him. And this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and there's many ayah and hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that encourage us to seek this knowledge. But I just wanted to start off with the light of this hadith in order that it might set a setting for us in seeking this knowledge, inshallah ta'ala, that's a little better than just the simple question and answer session that goes on oftentimes when we're trying to learn this deen and hearing many questions. Oftentimes you hear the same exact questions all the time. And it shows that the people are not gaining a fiqh of this deen, or gaining an understanding of this deen, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith of Bukhari Muslim, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, that whoever Allah wants good for, he gives a fiqh of this deen, or an understanding of this deen. And this understanding that comes of this deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. It's not just an overnight type of understanding of question and answer, I understand Islam. But this is as the way Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah and others that give the example of the alim al-Rabbani, that he teaches the people the smaller issues of their deen before the larger issues of the deen. And that someone is in the masjid and he's starting at the beginning teaching the people the aqidah, their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the belief in the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the issue of the books or the scriptures, and the belief in the angels, and the characteristics and the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, teaching the people the deen bit by bit, ayah by ayah, hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by hadith, taking the people through the books of fiqh, starting at page 1 and moving through the end of the book, taking the people through the affairs of the tahara, how to use the bathroom properly, what is najis, and the verdicts around najasa, how to make the wudu, how to make the ghusl, moving on to the book of salah, teaching the people how to, teaching the people the different zikrs that they make in their salah, teaching the people the proper positions in the salah, and bringing the Muslims along bit by bit and teaching them their deen in light of the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the people are going to get an understanding of this deen, they're going to have to get in the masjid, sit with the people of knowledge, and just start, for lack of better words, chipping away ayah by ayah, hadith by hadith, so that you can start understanding. Because if you don't take this method, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, then you kind of set yourself up to be confused, and Allah knows best, more than understanding. Because sometimes different issues or questions that have to be answered, there are other things that go into that question or into that answer that you might know, you might not know yourself. As some of the ulama, I remember them saying that we wanted to teach the people some of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, but every time I find myself, the shaykh is saying, I find myself saying that the hadith is mursal, therefore the position is such and such. What does mursal mean, Shaykh? Then he might say the hadith is mu'dal. What does mu'dal mean, ya Shaykh? Then he might say that really that's not a hadith, that's maqtu'. That narration is not a hadith, it's maqtu'. What does that mean? And then the Shaykh, he said, I can't even answer or teach the people because there's too many things that come up that the people don't understand themselves in the first place. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best that Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah and others from amongst the ulama, they say that the alim al-Rabbani, that he takes the people along with the smaller issues and then moves them on into the bigger issues. Because until you get a foundation, you're not going to be able to build on that foundation. And I just wanted to remind myself and the believers after this of some ayat and some hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam that might encourage us to spend more time in the masjid and more time with the people of knowledge and gaining the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, do the people who know, are they like those who don't know? And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's praising the people of knowledge and hopes, and Allah knows best that it will encourage us to try to spend more time with them to learn the knowledge that they have of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah ta'ala, he says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. And the only people who really fear Allah are the people of knowledge. And this is another statement of praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the people of knowledge, and hopes that the people might attach themselves to the people of knowledge to learn this Quran and learn the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala, he says, يَرْفَعَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah has raised those from amongst you who believe and those who have been given knowledge in degrees. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that the people of knowledge are not just like the regular people. Everybody's not on the same level. Some people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised to be on a different level than other people. Some of the ulama, they narrate with this story of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, that he had made an ex-slave in charge of one of the cities. And someone says, yeah, Omar, how are you going to remove me for an ex-slave and place him in charge of the city and in charge of the affairs of the Muslims? And then Omar, he told him that he heard the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابَ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعُ بِهِ الْآخَرِينَ. That indeed Allah would raise some people by this book, and he would bring some other people down. That ex-slave is a hafiz of the Book of Allah Ta'ala, the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he raises people in this world and in the hereafter because of their knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is an encouragement for us, inshallah ta'ala, to be with the people of knowledge and hope that we might learn it and we will be amongst them in the future one day, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. And there's other ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the people of knowledge or encourages us to seek the knowledge. And even in this ayah, and it might be important as we can indirectly understand from it the encouragement to seek knowledge, as Allah Ta'ala, he says, وَلَا تَقَفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. And don't say what you have no knowledge of. Indeed, the hearing and the sight and the intellect are all questions. Since we all have to say something in every issue, let's get some knowledge. As oftentimes we have been encouraged since we've been young with the issue of radio and TV and the newspapers and the magazines, and because all of us are literate, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, we feel that we have a right to speak about every issue. I have a master's degree in such and such, I have a doctor's degree in this, and then we think that because I read this newspaper, or read that magazine, or listened to that TV program every night, or whatever, Nightline or something, that it gives the people the right to talk about the affairs of the Muslims, or the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this ayat, Allah is warning us from saying what we have no knowledge of. If you have a master's degree in whatever you have it in, and it's not in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, then don't speak about the Quran and the Sunnah, this deen, without any knowledge. The hearing and the sight and the intellect will all be questioned. Let's have an understanding of the difference between the secular knowledge and the knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, he says in this narration collected by Imam al-Hakim in his Tariq, and it's in the Jam al-Saghir by Imam al-Suyuti, and it's been declared authentic by Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُبَغِضُ كُلَّ عَالِمٍ بِالدُّنْيَا جَاهِلٍ بِالْآخِرَةِ. Indeed, Allah Ta'ala hates everyone who is knowledgeable of the affairs of this world, ignorant of the affairs of the hereafter. And in this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he puts light, or he puts in perspective the issue of this secular knowledge and the knowledge of this deen. The knowledge of this deen comes first. And whoever sacrifices the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah for this secular knowledge, then we fear for him. That was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned in this hadith. But everyone should be concerned with having the knowledge of this deen firstly and foremost, and then he can seek the knowledge of the worldly affairs that might benefit him and his family. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me. This is your first purpose in life, is to learn how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to establish this tawheed in your lives. And when you understand that, at least the basic affairs that every Muslim should know of the belief and then the acts of worship of tahara and the salat and the siyam and the paying of the zakat and the hajj and the other basic affairs that every Muslim should know about, or those things that might affect him if he's a businessman, and the kitab al-buyur or the business transactions and those hadith that are related to that, then a person, he can go out and learn and do whatever he wants to provide for his family, but he can't sacrifice the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah for the affairs of what we say, providing a living for my family. Wallahi, there's no ayah or hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that encourages us to be bums or to be lazy, or it discourages us from educating ourselves to the sciences of math or science or engineering or architecture or whatever. No, nothing in Islam discourages us from doing that. But Islam, alhamdulillah, puts everything in perspective that you have been created to worship Allah first. And everyone has to make sure that that's taken care of, and then he goes on to the other affairs. And we hope like we're encouraging the brothers and the sisters to put the emphasis on the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, and then the issues of secular knowledge to come afterwards. Don't go too far until you make yourself ignorant of the worldly affairs, and then you're not able to provide for your family, and you know nothing about interacting with the Muslims or whatever you have to do in your worldly affairs. Learn your deen, but don't let it make you a bum. The Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, they had many of them who were scholars. And the Tabi'un and the Tabi'in and up into our generation, there are people of knowledge, alhamdulillah, and their concern is the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. And they start off and they memorize the Quran and they memorize the Sunnah, and they start off with the smaller fiqh books and they move on into the bigger ones and what have you. And their job, for lack of better words, is propagating this deen and learning this and passing on this knowledge. And they'll be compensated, inshallah ta'ala, by the Muslims for doing that. If someone's going to be on that level or striving for that level, alhamdulillah, and this needs to be encouraged more and more and more amongst the men and the women in America, because there are just too many messages with the need for the people of knowledge. There are just too many messages with the need of the people to have some knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But for the Muslims who are not seeking knowledge on that level, and then they just like to be in the class, mashallah, and it's important that the Muslims are in the class, don't be unmindful of your obligations of learning and having a skill to provide for yourself and your family. Don't mix up the two and say, I didn't learn carpentry or welding or electrical work, or I didn't learn about engineering or how to be a teacher or whatever because I was busy at the class or this or that. There's no excuse. We have to handle the affairs of our deen, and we have to handle the affairs of our dunya also. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in many hadith, he encouraged us to seek this knowledge with the likes of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim, خياركم في الجاهلية خياركم في الإسلام إذا فقه, that the best of you in jahiliyyah are the best of you in Islam, provided that he gets a fiqh of this deen or an understanding of this deen. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. And this authentic hadith from Imam Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever treads a path seeking knowledge in that path, then Allah will make it easy for him to tread the path to Jannah. Because if he seeks this knowledge, and he learns the halal and the haram, and he learns the tawheed and the affairs of shirk, and he knows the affairs of iman, and he knows the affairs of kufr, he knows his deen, then he'll be able to do what will take him to Jannah, inshaAllah, tabarak wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Ibn Majah, he says, سَيَأْتِيكُمْ أَقْوَامٌ يَطْلُبُونَ الْعِلْمِ فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمُوهُمْ فَقُولُوا لَهُمْ مَرْحَبًا بِوَصِيَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam, he says in this hadith of Ibn Majah, it's authentic, there will come to you some people who are seeking knowledge. When you see them, say to them, welcome the people who have the inheritance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This is what I wanted to remind myself of and the believers this evening in brief, that it is important for us to seek knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. And there are other ayah and hadith that can be quoted in light of this to encourage us to seek the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. But I just wanted to remind myself and the people that in seeking this knowledge, you have to get an understanding that sometimes this will not come from question and answers, or it won't come from just the big lectures on Saturday night or Friday night, or the big lecture series that have been posted up in the flyers and everybody coming from all over the place and it's exciting and the dinners and all of that stuff. Inshallah ta'ala, we're not discouraging the people from benefiting from that or from any way that they might benefit in learning the Quran and the Sunnah. I just wanted to remind myself and the people that seeking this knowledge is going to take a little more than that. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set the example, and his Sahaba were with them setting the example. وَلَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. And Allah doesn't burden a soul beyond its capability. But that this is the way that we learn our deen, by spending some time in the masjid on a regular basis, staying in the classes, holding fast to the people of knowledge, and learning our deen little by little, instead of learning our deen the backwards way that we've been taught from the newspapers and the television shows and what have you. That we want to start, excuse me, with the biggest issues and try to handle them first before we get basic issues down. And I remember one of the ulama, as he was debating one of the younger students on an issue of difference of an opinion amongst the ulama. And as the student, the young student, was presenting his case, he quoted the ayah from the Quran and he stopped at a wrong place. And the Shaykh asked him, is it okay for you to stop at that place? He said, really Shaykh, those verdicts in how to read the Quran and where to stop and where it's not okay to stop, and where it's encouraged to continue on, and where it's discouraged from continuing on, and where it's the same whether you continue on or you stop, where it's compulsory to stop and what have you. Shaykh, I don't know those issues. I haven't learned that. But this issue right here, I know you dead wrong on it, and that's why I come to debate you and show you. This is a mentality that, even though this was a case that didn't take place in America, this is like our case. That we feel because we're literate, or we're college graduates, or have master's degrees, or we've been on the job 20 years, or we're respected in the community, or whatever, we feel that it gives us the authority to handle and deal with issues that we're not on that level. And anyone who wants to get on that level, there's no secret in this knowledge. Nothing has been hidden from everyone. Everyone has an equal opportunity to learn the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it takes the time and the effort to sit down and start learning little by little and little by little until you learn your deen. I just wanted to remind myself and the believers not to be so hasty and to be looking forward to all of the big lectures and the big issues of difference of an opinion and the controversies and what have you, but to just sit in the masjid with the Muslims, come to some regular classes, and learn your deen little by little. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. I guess we can use the rest of the time, inshallah ta'ala, if there's going to be after what was presented. Any questions? And if not, inshallah ta'ala, we end it right here and take a little break before the salah. This is a question. Before we begin these questions, there were a few questions that weren't answered with our last class, and I have saved those questions and I put them somewhere. So maybe the people who had those questions, they might ask them again. No, I didn't put them down. I took them with me and left them. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. Can Muslim men wear diamond rings? Please provide me with dalil, with the silver part that's around the hand. I am 11 years old. A friend and I have been having this discussion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase them in knowledge. And may he increase me in knowledge too, because my answer to this question is La adri Allahu a'lam. I don't know, Allah knows best. I remember some time ago before that, we had similar questions to some of our shuyukh as we were trying to, as they say, Islamicize our jahiliyyah and to bring all of our things from jahiliyyah and to make it like Islamically okay to continue on with what we do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us humble and submit to the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I don't know if there was anything else. Nah. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. I won't repeat the questions, but it's hard to repeat, like, you know, that was a long one. Nah, just try to say something that I can paraphrase, inshallah, for the sisters to catch that. I just let the brother say, I'm not that good, you know, and hearing stuff for the first time and memorizing like 8 sentences all at one time. I don't know if you just want to just state the question, and we heard all of the stuff that goes with it, then is that okay? I can't repeat everything. Is it okay to just answer the question? The brothers, they wanted me to repeat what you said because the sisters are listening. I can't repeat everything you said. Okay. What do you suggest for me?
The best way to teach Islam and also teach how to handle the affairs of the world?
What is the best way to teach Islam and handle the affairs of this world?
And to teach how to handle the affairs
of this world.
In reference to learning electronics,
whatever it may be,
it don't have to be electronic.
And whatever it may be, and it doesn't have to be electronic.
Yes, but that's what has to be done.
No, I'm not trying to be funny, but sometimes it's just hard, people, you know, and usually when the brothers have a lot of questions, I say, try to make, you know, be brief so even I can understand. I don't know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, except that we saw in this example of the hadith of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that going to the masjid and sitting down with the people of knowledge is the way we're going to learn. Now, coming to the masjid and sitting with the people of knowledge is how we're going to learn our deen. And in that process, we're going to learn about handling the affairs of our dunya too. Because when you go to the masjid and you learn the Quran, eventually you're going to come across the ayat, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَبَتَغُوا مِنْ قَبْ
No, what is the best way to handle it, to approach that, so that it won't get something negative?
I understand exactly what you said. I'm trying to answer it now. Now, after I answer, if you want to add on, inshallah, I'll try. فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون. And when the salah is completed, go out in the earth and desire the bounties of Allah and remember Allah often so that perhaps you may be successful. What does desire the bounties of Allah? Go get paid. In general, how are you going to get paid with a nice computer job if you don't go to school? If you don't go to school, how are you going to get a job in computers if you don't learn about computers? So all of that stuff, when you learn Islam, everything else is going to fall in place. It might seem simple. Islam is easy, alhamdulillah. Inna deena yusrun. Messenger of Allah says, indeed the deen is easy. Come to the masjid, learn Islam, and you're going to be encouraged to handle those other affairs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The thing that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that we need to be concerned about, and that if we're concerned, we'll be okay, and if we're not, we might not be okay on the communal level, is the statement of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim. إن الله لا ينتزع العلم انتزاعا ينتزعه من العباد ولكن يقبض العلم بقبض العلماء حتى إذا لم يبق عالما اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم وفي رواية فيفتون برأيهم فضلوا وأضلوا. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, indeed, Allah will not snatch away the knowledge from the people by just snatching it away. But the knowledge will be taken away by the dying off of the people of Israel. They take the ignorant as their leaders. And then they ask them questions and they ask or answer without any knowledge. Or in the other narration, they give fatwas with their own opinions and they go astray and they lead astray. So one thing we want to make sure is that in the community, you have some leadership with knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because if you do, inshallah ta'ala, everything else can fall in place. And if you don't, it looks like everybody else will fall out of place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and save us. And that's all I have to offer for that question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
نعم. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Can I explain the controversy around the issue of photography and cameras and what have you? Personally, I'm just too shy. I don't want to be on the camera so that the women can see me. Not a verdict or nothing. I just don't want to be on the screen. May Allah help me. The issue of photography and pictures and what have you, there's a big thick book that's been compiled by Abu Muhammad Abdul Raul Shakir, and it's available. Anyone has any questions around this issue of pictures, he will do an injustice to himself, or she will do injustice to herself by not reading that book first and then asking a question. Because if you don't try to gain some knowledge before you ask your question, then your question is going to be from, it's never going to stop. What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? The whole book is quoted to you and you don't remember any of it. Nah. We have to do some studying first, and then everything else can fall into place afterwards. Nah. So that's just my personal thing, that I don't like to be on the screen. Nah. Yes?
I heard a khutbah yesterday in Juma. And from that khutbah, I understood the man was encouraging working more with people of under the leadership of Barakim Muhammad to have them advocate in that area.
Say that one more time.
I heard a Juma khutbah yesterday where the man was stressing working more with, or unifying with, the people of Barakim Muhammad Masjid.
No.
And I had concerns about that in that khutbah. My concern was joining on for what purpose? You're trying to say for unity. And their practices, they don't seem to want to change or stop doing certain behaviors. And I just had a concern about that. And if people are meeting with the intent of trying to do that, what advice would you give?
I don't have to repeat that one, do I? I don't have to repeat that, do I? It's a little heavy in there.
A little loaded. I heard lectures from yourself, Abu Usama, from Brother Dunn.
I'll say something, inshallah.
And I even addressed
them,
and I said, go to some of them. This one, ask them, permissible to do this.
Bismillah. Those people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, have come around to the sunnah in America more so than any other group in America, and Allah knows best. I'm only speaking on what I know. And the people of other groups have been so indoctrinated to their programs, they never leave it and come out to just pure adherence to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the way of the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'in and the ulama of his deen, like the people of that group. So if the people wanted to work with them in order to teach them Islam, because there's been a lack of teaching of the Quran and the Sunnah in that community, then we hope inshallah ta'ala that Allah rewards them for their efforts. And I think this is different than saying, let's unite with people who are astray or people who are ignorant or whatever for the sake of unity. I hope that we should put the best construction on what the people are saying, that it's just an attempt to do what Allah says when He says, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'idati al hasana wajadilhum billati hi ahsan." And call to the path of your Lord with hikmah and beautiful exhortation, and debate or argue with them in the finest manner. We hope inshallah ta'ala that this was the objective of that imam's statement in his khutbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Could you Could you repeat the name of the places hated by Allah? The marketplaces. Prophet ﷺ said the marketplaces. No. The most beloved places to Allah are the masjid, and the most hated places are the marketplaces. Are you familiar with the hadith that says that if a Muslim learns a certain number of hadith and teaches it to others, they are guaranteed a spot in Jannah? There might be some hadith that the ulama have declared not authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that motions to what is mentioned in this statement, and those are the hadith that say whoever memorizes 40 hadith, and because of that many of the ulama have written books on 40 hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the ulama say those hadith have not been authentically reported on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah knows best. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Please provide the dalil on brothers marrying in polygyny without the ability to support the sister. Allah Ta'ala, He says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ مِنْكُمْ طَوْلًا أَنْ يَنْكِحُ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. It's an ayah from Imam Al-Hafidh of translation of Quran. This is in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 25, where Allah says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ مِنْكُمْ طَوْلًا أَنْ يَنْكِحَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ فَمِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ مِنْ فَتَيَاتِكُمُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. And whoever doesn't have the ability to marry chaste believing women, then they should marry that which their right hands possess from the slave or the war captive believing women. And since there's no war captive women, and he doesn't have the money for the chaste women, oh, I forgot the rest part of the ayah. That he should do what Allah says at the end of that ayah. وَأَن تَصْبِرُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Allah says, and to be patient is better for you. If you don't have the ability to marry someone, being patient is better for you. Question number two. Should an imam marry a brother to a sister who is educated and employed, and the brother is unemployed? I guess we're going to look at that in light of that ayah right there that was already mentioned. Allah knows best. If you know that someone is doing some bid'ah or wrong, and they are much more knowledgeable than you, is it your obligation to tell them? How should you tell them? I don't know, Allah knows best. This is a difficult one when someone is more knowledgeable than you and you're trying to present something to them. It's a little difficult for the one who knows more than the one who doesn't know as much to accept it from them. But, and Allah knows best, all of us, our obligation is only to deliver the message. Or this deen is nasiha. You give the sincere advice in the best manner that you could, and it's on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that. Allah knows best. Brother, in Islam, are Muslims allowed to use Prozac and other antidepressants? Thank you. Well, yeah. I don't know. Allah knows best. I don't even know what Prozac is or those other things. Maybe someone more knowledgeable can answer that question. Brother, should people listen to imams if they know that the imam is wrong? Thank you. Listening is one thing and obeying him is another thing. إنما الطاعة في المعروف. Obedience is only in the ma'roof, or that which is in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or that which is right. And there's no obedience when it is wrong. And we're just quoting an example of this just the other day, I think it was. Hadith is a little long of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe you all are aware of this story where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he chose one of his companions to be the Amir. And he told the rest of the people, you obey that Amir or that leader. And they went out on a raiding party. And then the Amir said, who am I? You're the leader. Who made me the leader? The Messenger of Allah. Alright. Did he tell you to obey me? Yes. Okay, get some firewood. They got the firewood. Set it on fire. They set it on fire. Alright, jump in it. Everybody looking around at each other. The Amir getting mad. The Prophet made me a leader. He told me for you to obey me. Jump in that fire. And while they were in that state, the Amir is upset. And the people are looking at each other. And they're saying that we only follow the Prophet ﷺ to run from the fire. Now how are we going to jump in it? The fire went down and they brought the story back to the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ told them, if you would have jumped in that fire, you would have never ever come out again. Obedience is only in the things that are right. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Now, so if the leader is calling the people to other than what is correct, then it's not on the people to follow them. No. I have not a question. Thank you for giving me a deeper understanding of knowledge, truth, and trust as a Muslim and recent convert. May Allah continue to guide you. Jazakallah khair. I don't know if there was anything else that was left. No. Some of the people, they understand the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, seeking knowledge is an obligation on every Muslim, that this means every type of knowledge. The ulama, they explain, Allah knows best, that what is meant by this hadith is the knowledge of this deen. And that when Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam praises knowledge, then they're praising the knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if we took a look at that hadith that we had quoted earlier, it would make it clear what is meant. The Prophet ﷺ says, indeed, whoever is knowledgeable of the affairs of this world ignorant, indeed Allah Ta'ala hates the one who is knowledgeable of the worldly affairs, ignorant of the affairs of the hereafter. If that hadith meant any knowledge, and someone sought the knowledge of architecture, for example, and he didn't seek knowledge of this deen, yarhamukallah, in light of that hadith, he would be considered praiseworthy. Because the Prophet says seeking knowledge is an obligation. He sought the knowledge. How is he going to be blameworthy? Because that knowledge that is referred to in that hadith, it's referring to the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. If someone took that, Allah knows best, and stretched this meaning after the Quran and the Sunnah, then it would be in light of the other texts, and Allah knows best. Is it allowed to use computer electric sounds for an Islamic song? I don't know. Allah knows best. There's nothing else. Subhanallah. Yes.
Sorry, question. Can you give us some nasihah for those of us who are trying to study, starting off ground floor, like with someone in the formal Arabic time, like Sunday might go to Islam or someone's going to the Latin, since you've been there, starting off the alphabet and work your way up to the yard, can you give us some nasihah on which should be our course of study for the Arabic and English?
Brother's asking, can I give him some nasiha in studying Islam or increasing your knowledge? It's hard to repeat a whole seven sentences. uh, firstly, the people are going to have sincerity, and that they are seeking this knowledge sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah Ta'ala alone, and not to please anyone or to show off. But that what they're learning is for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's sake alone, and to help them to get to Jannah, and to keep them from going to the hellfire. And Allah reward us with Jannah and save us from the fire. After that, he's going to have to do his best to be around the people who are knowledgeable and practice what they know, and to stay close with those people. And then, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, is the issue of how many hours can you spend. Somebody's going to study Islam, it's going to take hours and hours and hours and hours. Islam is memorization, because it ain't nothing new. Islam is اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. This day I perfected for you your deen, completed my favor to you, chosen for you Islam as a deen. Nothing new to figure out, work out, nothing. You memorize it exactly the way it is, pass it on to the generation that comes after you, just like it was passed on to you, exactly how it was. How do you remember something word for word? Hours after hours after hours after hours. Sounds a little boring, but it's okay. Everybody who came before you did it. And the ulama, they didn't have colorful TVs and computers and all this other stuff, and they memorized and they knew and understood everything. MashaAllah. Just read the life of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, and how Imam al-Bukhari, who was non-Arab, and how did he come and learn the Arabic language, memorize so many hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and understand it, so on and so forth, so he earned the title that many of the scholars call him Sayyidul Fuqaha, or the master or the leader of the fiqh scholars. And really, all of the fiqh books, or many of the fiqh books, have been written on the order that Imam al-Bukhari wrote his Sahih al-Bukhari, showing that his understanding on top of his memorization was strong, rahimahullah. Just have to spend some hours and keep on going and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for success. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was blessed. Nah. Yes, Sahih. Right.
I think the question, put his money as a partner with another person for making it. And after why he heard the gold people, they are talking, they say, the other person that he gave him is, the money is not responsible, but he has some kind of deal, whatever, they not going to say. So the partner, he would like to know what's the account of that, which is his business. So the brother, they stop going to say anything, they say it's not fighting. And so the businessman, he would like to know everything, so he can to take care of the money.
Brother is really asking an issue about what is riba and what is not riba. What is riba and what is not riba? And maybe the people might like to refer to the book we mentioned in the beginning, Riyad al-Salihin, or Gardens of the Righteous by Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, and he has a chapter on riba, and he explains what's not riba. I think they translated all that into English. It's a nice explanation so that the people can know. And this is what I'm saying, because if you don't get all of the background information in the whole lecture, then it's going to wind up being a statement like this. Yes, he should tell you what it is, and it's not riba. The first thing somebody will say, where are your evidence from? You can't talk behind somebody's back. And that's why we said you have to go back and start teaching them, what does the ayat mean when Allah says this? What does the Prophet ﷺ mean when he says that? What are the statements of the ulama around the issue of ghiba and what's not ghiba, and so on and so forth? And then at the end, you can come and say, and then the person will understand. But that's the answer in brief and Allah knows best. That's similar to the first situation, Allah knows best. No, that's exactly similar to the first one, Allah knows best. بارك الله فيك. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. الحمد لله. I want to thank all of the people who are involved in setting up this program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them and bless them and continue to bless them to have similar programs and even more beneficial programs. Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barakatuh ala nabiyyina Muhammad.